Hey everyone, welcome back to But Why Though, the podcast. The podcast where we talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, as always, we wanted to invite you to our online conversation. So go ahead and follow us at But Why Though PC on Twitter and like our page on Facebook, facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC. So give us a like, give us a follow, and tell us why pop culture matters to you. And if you want to support us a little bit more, head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/ButWhyThoughPC. There you can get access to episodes early, exclusive bonus episodes, extra content, and a little bit of merch. So make sure you check that out. And if a subscription is too much for you, which I totally understand, head on over to our Tee Public page where we're selling t-shirts, stickers, books, pretty much a whole bunch of stuff with our names and sayings on it. So check it out. And if you do buy one, take a picture of it and send it to us. And lastly, probably the most influential thing you can do, rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. It is the way that other people can find us, and it's the best way to give us your feedback. Let us know what you think, leave a review, and as always, enjoy the show. Welcome back. Today we are talking about a show that has gone on for over 600 episodes and probably has some special place in your childhood, The Simpsons. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And our special guest, who might as well be a part of our family already, Alex.
Hey guys, how's it going?
And give the listeners a refresher of where you're from.
Yeah, so I have another podcast called What We Talk About When We Talk About, which is another pop culture podcast where we talk about the meta of pop culture, I guess, kind of. And then I also work for Friday.com, which is a horror news and review site.
Welcome.
Oh, back. And I'm on the Game Boys podcast, which is a co-op gaming podcast.
He does a lot of things.
You might know me from the internet.
So to start off the show, who is your favorite Simpsons character, and how do you know the show? And what I mean by that is, have you binge-watched the whole thing? Have you watched every episode? Or are you just a little casual with it? Adrian?
My favorite Simpsons character probably have to be Krusty the Clown. I just always liked Krusty. I don't know. I like in these kind of shows, I like the kind of like character that's not there all the time, but kind of has like different recurring roles because you know it's kind of like a special episode, and he's kind of a tortured soul, which I kind of like. And how do I know? I mean, I used to watch it a bunch when I was a kid when we just had like an antenna and like we only got like Fox. So I watched a bunch of Simpsons when I was a kid, but I haven't watched it in years. I didn't even know it was still going. But yeah, I like Simpsons. Simpsons Hit and Run is probably one of my favorite games as a kid. And if you're not familiar with Simpsons Hit and Run, it's basically Grand Theft Auto, but with Simpsons characters. And yes, it is as good as you think it is.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Matt?
So I like the dog and Maggie, I think is the
Santa's
baby.
Little Helper?
Yes, Santa's Little Helper and Maggie when they're together.
Why?
I don't know. Probably because they always end up being, it seems like they're always end up being the smartest of the characters. They seem to always portray the babies in these cartoons as like knowing more than what people realize. And they always seem to go on a crazy adventure. Like when she went to Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu?
Yep.
Not Machu Picchu. Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu. But yes, Machu Picchu. Now you got me messed up. It was long. I can't even pronounce it. Get the word. And as far as knowing it, so there are what, 629 episodes? I've probably seen maybe 45.
Oh, you're missing out.
For some reason, is the one, like, I believe it was, even though, like, I just don't think it was, I think it was just an age thing. I love adult cartoons, but I've just never really cared to sit down and watch The Simpsons. It's not like I don't like them, because when they're on, I'm like, oh, cool, whatnot, good. But I've just never cared to sit and watch them.
Yeah, so for me, my favorite character is Lisa, obviously, because I'm kind of her.
That was a shocker.
with my soapbox and my Twitter microphone and my causes. So I think Lisa pretty much fits me as a person. I also think they characterize her pretty deeply, at least from the, and this goes into the how I know it and how deeply I know it, is I've probably seen about a good 10 years worth of episodes, but not consecutively and not in order. So I wasn't allowed to watch it growing up, like, at all, which at this point, I don't know why. And I remember giving my mom, like, crap for it because she let my brother watch Family Guy as a kid on Adult Swim. But I couldn't watch The Simpsons, which is pretty wholesome in comparison to, like, everything that exists in adult cartoons now. And so I remember my aunt had no cable, also had the little bunny ears Adrian's talking about. And at her house, when I'd come home from school, right before my parents would come, I'd get to watch two episodes of The Simpsons. So that was probably one of my favorite things. Yeah, I've seen nothing of this new stuff, which the internet tells me is a good thing.
Yep, it is.
So what about you, Alex?
Okay, so I have a long and deep history with The Simpsons. So let's start with Christmas ornaments. I have a Christmas ornament that I made in kindergarten, where somehow for school picture day, I either convinced my parents or didn't know to let me wear my Bart Simpson t-shirt. So we have a Christmas ornament of 5-year-old me immortalized on our tree wearing a Bart Simpson t-shirt because I've been watching the show literally, I think, almost as long as I can remember, because my parents were real cool like that. And I actually,
man, was that a dig at Kate's parents?
I'll get to that. When I graduated college the second time, I was like, okay, I think I'm done with education, potentially forever, maybe just for a while. And I tracked down a company that was reprinting that shirt that I had as a kindergartner, and I bought it again as an adult.
Oh, gosh.
Because I felt like a good bookend to things. Yeah. But no, I have a very distinct memory in first grade of lunch, talking to my friend at The Simpsons, and saying somebody said something about their parents not letting them watch it. And I was like, well, that's really dumb. And apparently just 6-year-old me was like, I'm going to drag your parents now for a minute. And then this girl whose mom was a teacher's aide in the classroom was just like, no, I don't let my daughter watch The Simpsons, and just like real quickly put me in my place for being terrible about that. And that has stuck with me as a like, hey, maybe consider other people's experiences. But yeah, I've been watching that show since I was a kid. My parent, like, I've seen at least, I think, the first 11 seasons. I've watched some of season 28. I've seen every Treehouse of Horrors. I want to watch through all of it eventually. I just know that there's like a deep dark valley after season, for some people season 7, some people season 10. For me, after season 11, I think, is when it really is. I've heard there's some bright spots, but yeah, I've seen a lot of it, not all of it.
So is this dip like before or after the Simpsons movie? Because I do remember going to go watch that in theaters.
Simpsons movie is around season 16, I think. Season 18, because the show started in 89. And that movie came out in like the late or mid to late 2000s. So it's like 18 season movie. And that is kind of when it could have been a bright spot, could have been dark, to my understanding. But I can't say for sure.
It had spider pigs.
I was elected to lead.
Yeah. Yeah. And spider pig is like a modern Simpsons joke because the writing has changed a lot. A lot of what I know of the newer seasons comes from another podcast that I'll plug right now, which is called Worst Episode Ever. And it is two guys who love The Simpsons, like run Simpsons trivia bar nights in New York City. And they watch episodes and then actually rate them on a scale to figure out what is the worst episode ever. So they look at like originality, humor, continuity with like the characterization of everybody, like all that stuff, and then just kind of figure out like, is this actually the worst episode they've ever made? And they've done over 100 episodes now, and they have all of them ranked.
So what is their worst episode as of right now?
Oh, let me take a look. I think they just found it, actually. Okay, so Simpsons rankings on worst episode ever. Camp Crustier, season 28, episode 15, and it honestly is, I think, the worst episode of The Simpsons that I've ever seen. I have watched that one because that was one of the late seasons that I did watch.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's rough.
I think too, like, I think as we start moving into the history and talking about the but why those and just how long this show has been on, like, I think like one of the questions I'm going to have in my head and totally want you all to like kind of think about until we get to the end, like, should it have been going on for as long as it was?
That's a very good question, honestly.
So with that, let's move into the history and the synopsis. I'm going to do this small Wikipedia style so we can get straight to the but why those, because with so many years of history, I think that's where we should spend the bulk of our time. So The Simpsons.
And to be honest, like, if you don't know what The Simpsons are, like, where have you been and why are you on the internet? Or how are you on the internet if you don't know, like, the basis of The Simpsons?
If you don't know who The Simpsons are, you probably don't know how to use a smartphone to access our podcasts.
That might be a fair assessment.
Yeah. So The Simpsons is an American animated sitcom created by Matt Groening for the Vox Broadcasting Company. The series is a satirical depiction of a working class life epitomized by the Simpson family, which consists of Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie. The show is set in a fictional town of Springfield and parodies American culture and society, television, and even the human condition. So since its debut on December 17th, 1989, actually, in fun fact, in 1987, there was like about 40 or so episodes on the Tracy Ullman show, which served as pretty much the first episodes of The Simpsons. And then it evolved to what we have now.
I thought you were going to say it was when I was born.
What? Oh, yeah. Other fun fact, Matt was born in 87. Yay. Are you as important?
Do you know what a computer is?
Barely.
So as of right now, I don't know if this number is right, at 629 episodes. I'm just gonna go ahead and say that it has over 600 episodes of The Simpsons have been broadcast. Its 29th season began in October of 2017, so last year. It is the longest running American sitcom and the longest running animated American program. And in 2009, it surpassed Gunsmoke as the longest running American scripted primetime television series. The Simpsons movie itself is also a feature-length film which released in theaters worldwide in 2007, and it grossed over $527 million. In 2016, the series was renewed for a 29th and 30th season of 22 episodes each, extending the show out until 2019, and we don't really know if that's the end point or when that end point is. The Simpsons pretty much received widespread critical acclaim throughout its first 9 or 10 seasons. That's a little bit debatable depending where you fall, which are generally considered the golden age of The Simpsons. Time named it the 20th century's best television series, and Eric Adams of the AV Club named it television's crowning achievement regardless of format. So that means the best of anything that has ever happened on TV. That's it.
But it's not the longest running TV thing.
What is?
Shark Week.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Shark Week.
By 1 year.
Incredible.
In 2000, the Simpson family was awarded a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It has won dozens of awards since it debuted as a series, including 31 Primetime Emmys, 30 Annie Awards, which, as we talked about in one of our last episodes, I believe was our Coraline review, our Coraline Patreon review. The Annie Awards are special animation awards given out specifically to animators. So think like Oscars, but for animation. And a Peabody Award as well.
What is a Peabody Award? Because I know what Mr. Peabody is, and I like that show, but what is an actual Peabody Award?
I don't think the two are related.
I want to make sure that was correct.
I'm going to double check to make sure I'm right.
That they're not related or what it is?
What it is. I know that they're not related, Alex.
It's an Oscar, but it's just a gold statue of Mr. Peabody.
If we have fans out there, please make us that. I'll put it on a shelf. So the Peabody Award is in honor of the most powerful, enlightening, and invigorating stories on television, radio, and online media. It was established in 1941 and is named after George Foster Peabody.
Okay.
Not the same thing.
Well, I didn't think they were the same thing, but I just didn't know, like, because everybody talks about, like, the, you know, the Annies, I know the Emmys and whatnot.
I've heard of the Peabodys before, but I've never been really aware of what exactly they are. I just kind of vaguely knew it was a TV thing.
Yeah, same.
So on top of that, Homer's catchphrase, "Dope," has been adopted into the English language.
What was that? What was that phrase?
"Dope."
Okay, cool. Just want to double check I heard it.
Well, you already have.
Oh my god! When you rage in D&D, can you just go "dope"?
I was just about to say that.
When you rage. Oh, we need to make that a thing. Come on, Twitter, talk her into it.
So long as you keep booping people on the nose.
I actually had a lot of fun doing that.
Which, plug for our D&D campaign that we've been doing on Twitch. Adrian plays one of his friend's characters because she was gone, and he beats two things by booping them on the nose. And he finds a staff halfway through the stream and boops it with a staff. That
boop happened. It right on the nose.
I saw that video on Twitter. Fantastic. Today. It was very good.
Yeah, so you should come watch us do D&D. It's actually really entertaining and fun when I'm not getting one hit by a boss, because that happened. So yeah, "dope" is in the English language. While The Simpsons has influenced many other adult-oriented animated sitcoms, despite this, the show is also criticized for a decline since the 90s, and we will be getting into all these little goodies as we move through the show today. So to start things off, the show is pretty much made up of six people. There are six main cast members who pretty much do the voices for everybody. I don't know if that stays true in these later seasons, though.
I know it's at least true through the Simpsons movie, because at the credits of the end movie, they just put up a name and then images of every character they face. And the first time I saw that, it blew my mind, because I did not realize how many of them cover so many characters.
And I feel too, like, it'd be hard to change the voices of the characters, because I know when I went back and watched, like, some of the first episodes when it was, like, streamable or something, I had a really hard time, because it wasn't like the voice acting that I was used to hearing.
Yeah,
they've
been really good about just retiring people. Like, when the voice actress who did Edna Krabappel died, they wrote Edna out of the show instead of bringing in somebody to do a legacy voice, which I thought was very respectful and the right move.
Those six main cast members are Dan Castaneda, Julie Kavner, Nancy Cartwright, Yeardley Smith, Hank Azaria, who, like, does a whole bunch of stuff outside of The Simpsons as well.
Mm-hmm. And live action stuff too.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, like, I figured out who Hank Azaria was by watching stuff he did live action and then made the connection backwards.
Yeah. I think all of them, I think at one point or another, have done live action. I think Julie and Nancy the least.
Because Nancy Cartwright is also, isn't she the woman who did a lot of the voices for 90s Nicktoons?
She did, yeah, she did do a number of them.
And then the last cast member is Harry Shearer.
Yeah, it's a weird one. And he's done a lot of Christopher Guest movies. He's in This Is Spinal Tap, A Mighty Wind, all that stuff. Ah.
So, as we come into the But Why Those, this first one, and probably the one I spent the most time putting stuff together for because it fascinates me so much, is the amount of math in The Simpsons, or actually the amount of degrees that people who have written The Simpsons have.
Yeah.
So this is one of those instances where you watch The Simpsons and a lot of people just say it's stupid comedy, or it's, you know, there's nothing behind it. And then you realize that the guys writing it have a whole bunch of PhDs. So
it also says stuff about academics, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, basically, all these people are very smart and have all these degrees and they end up making a TV show.
Yeah. Which is funny, because when I was looking up a whole bunch of their profiles, all of it was like, when I abandoned academia.
Yeah. There's one of the writers for Futurama, a related Matt Groening show, for a joke in an episode, wrote a new math theorem.
That is amazing.
like they had this idea where it's like, oh, how many people would you need? Like, if you had people who were swapping brains around, like two at a time, how many extra people would you need to be able to revert everything back to normal?
Yep.
And so he wrote a proven equation to show how many it would be.
It's a solid episode. Now I like it even more.
I know.
Oh, I love that episode. It's fun.
Yeah. But yeah, like Matt Groening, I think, just loves pulling in nerds and being like, make something funny.
So like we actually start going through stuff. So The Simpsons has been called the most mathematically sophisticated television show in the history of primetime broadcasting. The Simpsons. And I don't think a lot of people think about that at all. So first up, Al Jean, who worked on the first series and is now an executive producer, went to Harvard to study mathematics when he was 16 years old. Jeff Westbrook resigned as a senior researcher at Yale University in order to write scripts.
Once again, saying how much academia.
Yeah, I left academia and I'm much happier now that I've left it. But that's a whole nother story. David S. Cohen abandoned mathematics and after he had already co-authored a landmark research paper with Manuel Bloom, a winner of the Turing Award, which is known as the Nobel Prize of Computing. And it was it's called On the Problem of Sorting Burnt Pancakes is the title. And it has to do with like this equation between how many flips a pancake would take to stack pancakes effectively or something like that. It's kind of weird and really interesting. And I want to be in a room full of math people and listen to them talk about these things.
You wouldn't get it.
I wouldn't, but I'd be entertained.
No, my brother has a master's in some field of mathematics. And yeah, this kind of stuff, that's his jam. It's just like ridiculous things like that. And I think honestly, numbers nerds just like seeing, can you do this with numbers? And the answer is always yes.
The universe is ran off of numbers. Everything is run off of numbers. Everything's equations and run off of numbers. They do entire studies of basically people who think if you think your brain by using numbers and percentages, you're more likely to make better decisions.
We do have our own math nerd, so.
I'm not as in depth as these people, but I took a lot of math. That's
for sure. So the first proper episode of the series in 1989 actually contained numerous mathematical references, including a joke about calculus. Treehouse of Horrors 6 episode presents the most intensive 5 minutes of mathematics ever broadcast to a mass audience.
Do you know what which short that was or what the premise was?
I don't.
I will research that quickly.
Yeah.
Research quickly, because I probably should have done that.
Yeah, I was like, I was going to ask you that. Also, listening to people talk about math, I feel like they could have done anything. It'd probably been the most intense math thing.
Oh, okay. I was right. So I had a hunch, and I looked it up, and my assumption is that it is because that is the episode where Homer is sent into the 3D plane. Homer cubed. And there's a whole section of like Frank explaining how that works and all of that. And so I'm assuming that between the three shorts that are in that episode, that has to be the one. Because the other one's Nightmare on Evergreen Terrace and Attack of the 50-Foot Eyesores. So.
Yes.
So is that where I'm assuming they're just explaining how everything works in 3D space?
I think so, yeah.
Because basically everybody knows X, Y, and there's actually an X, Y, W, and Z planes.
Yeah. It has to be that.
I like kind of wanting to make a gif of like the intense face Matt makes when he starts talking about math stuff because I find it very entertaining and I feel like it adds to the experience. Okay. So The Simpsons also offered viewers an obscure joke about Fermat's last theorem, which is known as the most notorious equation in the history of mathematics, which I believe is the one that can't be proved.
Well, there's a lot of them that can't be proved. The theorem they're talking about is basically a to the n plus b to the n equals c to the n. So long as I believe it's a, b, and c are greater than one, I believe.
I just pulled up the Wikipedia on it. And the part of this that I love is that it says that he had scribbled it in the margin of a book and said he had a proof, but it was too big to fit in the margin.
Oh, gosh.
The first successful proof was released in 1994 and formally published in 1995 after 358 years of effort.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So that's why it's notorious.
Yes.
Yeah, because the dude scribbled it in the margin of a book and then it took over 300 years to figure it out.
Is that a math thing? Do math people do that?
Yes. My best college class I ever had was in differential equations, in which basically you have a 50-minute class and we basically, your whole goal was to do one question. because that's about how long it took, in which my teacher literally spent the entire class, used all the chalkboard and erased half the chalkboard with any drew lines, basically what you see in all these shows, and then goes, all right, I'm done. It said, go to the back of the book and checked it. And it was wrong. And he was like, shit. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Excuse my language. And then he just sat there and he's like, what if we do this? And we were like, no. And then he's like, shit. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I can't cut the thing. And then he goes, class is dismissed. Just go away. And basically, I literally had 3 pages in notes that basically just had to toss in the trash.
That's actually really sad.
It's also kind of great. It's like the Millennium Problems. Where they release, is it 6 or 7 questions or whatever, or like math theorems to prove, and then it's like, yeah, we figured out one of them.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically when you get to that high level math, that's all it is. Basically, they give you a test. Most of them are all take home, and there's like, here's 5 questions, go answer these. And you usually turn in like
welcome
8 pages.
Welcome to our Math Matters, But Why Though episode.
Right, we should rerail this.
Yeah. This is why I feel like National Treasure might be a thing, because people just like finding stuff for themselves.
Yeah.
I think it's totally possible.
To my, like, the movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, there is a website dedicated to math in The Simpsons called SimpsonsMath.com, and it's actually run by 2 PhDs. And then there is a book out called The Simpsons and Their Mathematical Secrets by Simon Singh. So, yeah. It's a smart show, which I don't think a lot of people think of when they hear Eat My Shorts. So the next But Why Though is the fact that other than Fritz the Cat, who is an honorable mention, The Simpsons is pretty much the first mainstream and widely publicized and viewed adult cartoon. And it pretty much coins all the tropes, like Matt, you mentioned smart babies, that are used across the adult shows.
Yeah.
So we're thinking like South Park, which comes in 97, and then you have like Family Guy, Futurama, which Futurama is the same creator. What else is there now? American Dad.
Rick and Morty. Pretty much all of Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is South Park really 1997? I thought it was earlier.
Yep.
No, 1987.
Oh, okay.
Santa versus Jesus short was, I think, sooner, but that wasn't ever like an official episode.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I was surprised too. I thought it was like 93. But
no,
was...
I knew it wasn't 93. I thought it was like 95 or something like that.
Now that one I understand why my parents didn't want me to watch it.
Oh, I also watched that one as a child. the weird thing is, like, my parents mostly were like, yeah, you can watch this, but we're going to talk to you about all of this. Like, if there's something bad in here that you shouldn't imitate, we're going to kind of lay that out.
So if they were nice,
your parents sound really responsible, actually.
Yeah.
Like that's what's supposed to happen, actually. Like, I've never heard of someone's parents actually doing that. So,
yeah.
Shout out to Alex's parents.
I will pass that along to them. I'm not even sure they listen to my show.
So Matt Stone, the co-creator of South Park, has actually said that The Simpsons is the bane of our existence. They have done so many parodies, tackled so many subjects. Simpsons did it is a very familiar refrain in our writer's room. Trey and I are constantly having our little cartoon compared to the best show in the history of television, The Simpsons. Why can't we be compared to According to Jim or Sister Sister? Sister Sister is a great show, Matt Stone.
Also, Simpsons did it actually is a whole plot of an episode that they did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're very self-aware and put that into their episodes.
I will say that Matt Stone and Trey Parker's movie they made is way better than The Simpsons movie. And I don't care what anybody says, a basketball. That's like the greatest movie ever.
I have not seen that movie in years.
You watched it last year?
Oh, I can't even count how many times I watched that movie.
Well,
it holds up.
I thought it did. Oh, trust me, if we put people nowadays to watch that movie, some people's heads might explode from how offended they would get. But it's hilarious.
That's kind of like, that just feels like the Matt Stone, Trey Parker brand.
Yes.
Pretty much.
But I think this day and age, it would totally, like, really be bad. I thought totally hold up. Considering this, the state of sports and how much stuff, even to this day and age, is still changing with money and everything else, I think it pretty holds up pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
which my watch of basketball was enhanced by Matt explaining the economics of sports to me.
That it does sound interesting, honestly.
That's our life.
That's
you're welcome,
other,
listeners.
That's a whole other episode.
Okay, so this is where we get into adult cartoons by the numbers and just the show as itself as a cartoon. So as a cartoon, it holds some pretty prestigious places, not only above other cartoons, like when it surpassed the Flintstones for longest running primetime animated series in 97, but it's also unseated really long-standing live-action thing. So in 2004, it replaced The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet as the longest running sitcom, animated or live action. In 2009, it surpassed the Ozzie and Harriet again. Their record was 435 episodes, and it's now recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's longest running sitcom in terms of episode count.
Okay, so they suppressed this at 435 episodes in 2009, correct?
Yes.
And they've been running since what, 1989?
Yeah.
And Ozzie and Harriet, you said, run from 1952 to 1966. So yes, it took them literally 7 more years to get that many episodes to catch up.
Yeah. So, like,
So, how many episodes were they producing in the 50s and 60s?
A lot. Like, when you look at a lot of those old shows, like, their seasons are like 30 to like 40 episodes long.
But how long are it's each episode? Like 15
I don't
minutes?
Know.
Man, they said young people and they were did the TV. They were pumping out like 40 episode seasons.
Well, yeah, but there's only 6 shows on at a time.
Exactly. So, and that was just what was established as longest running sitcom, which I think it's kind of funny that The Simpsons, as a completely animated and really like satirical animated thing, is compared to like sitcoms as a whole as a genre. Like, I would have never thought that The Simpsons was a sitcom.
Oh yeah, but it totally, it's just, yeah, animated sitcom that is a satire of us, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, of the American people.
Yep. So in 2007, The Simpsons reached their 400th episode at the end of their 18th season. And while The Simpsons has the record for the number of episodes, for the highest number of episodes by any American animated show, other animated series have surpassed The Simpsons. For example, there's a Japanese anime series, Sazae-san, which has over 7,000 episodes to its credits.
How?
It's anime. That stuff never ends.
That's true.
It's a lot of filler.
Yes. And in 2017, the 29th season, they finally surpassed Gunsmoke as the longest scripted series, which I think, like, The Simpsons are, like, the perfect way to show that, like, animation can be more than just animation, because I think a lot of the time we leave animation out when we take things into consideration for, like, awards or just classifications, because, like, the fact that it is classified as a scripted series and a sitcom while also being a cartoon are things that other ones aren't. And at this point, I think they're kind of forced to recognize that The Simpsons are these things so that they can give it its credit for outlasting all these other ones.
Well, I think it's also interesting when you bring that up that basically we've been referring to it as an animated show versus like a cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, so, even in the language, it seems like.
Yeah, so, like, what? I mean, is there a difference between an animated show and a cartoon?
I don't know. I just know that...
Technically speaking, I don't think so.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't think there was, but it seems like when you talk to somebody, if you're referencing one of these shows, you usually say animated show versus, like, cartoon. Usually it's Scooby-Doo or something.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I feel like... No, I was going to say, I think, too, like, one of the things that it may have to do is, like, the fact that, like, cartoon has, like, childish connotation, so you'd assume that a cartoon is for a younger viewer. Like, technically Rick and Morty is a cartoon, but you wouldn't call it a cartoon because you might not want kids watching Rick and Morty, so you call it a animated series, which gives it like a higher level type thing.
Yeah, I think it's this. I think there's three separate things going on. So there's cartoons, which are for kids. There's adult cartoons, which are for adults, and that's stuff like Rick and Morty. And then there's The Simpsons, which is an animated series, which is kind of in the middle, where it doesn't fully lean into the, well, we're for adults, so we can get away with saying and showing whatever. Like, it still has certain restraints on it that other like that South Park doesn't really give itself because it doesn't want to give itself. And I think it's a Sims, like by being an animated show, I think that's really just a, we're allowed to air on prime time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that I mean, I sense. Think Fox, like when they do all these, they literally had like animation domination, like themes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's how they like promote it.
Because now I think at this point, like somebody has at least one animated series that they probably watch, like a comedic animated series, like regularly, or at least one that they have like as something like in their memory
yeah.
of growing up. And The Simpsons started that. So what?
It's just so fascinating that out of all of them, I can think off the top of my head, this is one that I like do not watch. And it's like the first one that started everything.
So beyond that, when it comes, like the other really big but why though is humor in popular culture and like popular culture as like a whole, as in The Simpsons have been a critique and a mirror for popular culture, but have also solidly made popular culture itself and become a giant part of it. So the show's humor turns on cultural references that cover a wide spectrum of society. So like they use references from movies, music, science, history, literature, mathematics, and they refer to all of it, and they don't really treat one better than the other with the exception of how they show these satirized like American characters interacting with them. The animators also regularly add jokes and sight gags to the background via like text and signs, newspaper, billboards, pretty much everywhere, so that when you go back and watch The Simpsons, the humor is really layered. And whereas you have the joke happening in the foreground, there's probably an entirely another joke happening in the background that you'll catch when you watch, you know, a second or third time. So Kristen Thompson, who is an academic, argues that The Simpsons uses a flurry of cultural references, intentionally inconsistent characterization, and considerable self-reflexivity about television conventions and the status of the program as a television show. So like they maneuver themselves through what the like the regular confines of a television show is and kind of make a caricature of it. And that's how they navigate that space of cultural references, which is just to say it's a giant parody.
Yeah, I get that.
Super meta.
Probably explains why I like the show as much as I do.
So the other really important thing is that there is a giant cultural importance and pop culture importance around this script. And what I mean by that is that it's actually entered everybody's popular vernacular, everybody's like speech patterns, the way we refer to things. It's a lot of it can be done through The Simpsons, whether we're conscious of it or not, because we've been exposed to it for so long. So it's been said that like The Simpsons has apparently taken over from like Shakespeare or the Bible as our culture's like greatest source of idioms, and idioms themselves are like catchphrases, textual allusions, things that you use to refer to things. And the most famous catchphrase, the dope, like I said earlier, is in the Oxford English Dictionary. It's without the apostrophe, but it is in the Oxford English dictionary. And the voice actor who does that actually said that he borrowed this from one of the actors in Laurel and Hardy comedies who pronounced it in a more like elongated way. And that's kind of how we got it. So other words are cromulent and embiggen, which yes. have appeared in dictionary.com's 21st century lexicon. And they are used in scientific journals. And Biggin is used in scientific journals. And the Miss Marvel comic, which I did not know came from The Simpsons.
That's fantastic. Honestly, I think cromulent is... I like it because it became a word. And did those come from the same scene? I don't remember.
I don't remember at all. I think they did. I'm pretty sure they're from the same episode, at least.
I just noticed that somebody says something and someone's like, why do you have to say it like that? They're like, yeah, I don't know why people get mad about it. It's a perfectly cromulent word. And it's like, I hate this. I hate this so much, but I love it. Okay, so
is the catchphrase.
They are from the same one. It's from Lisa the Iconoclast, which is a great episode. And somebody says Embiggen, never heard that word before I'm moving to Springfield. And then Miss Hoover says, I don't know why, it's a perfectly cromulent word. Which is just something that David X. Cohen made up just kind of as a ridiculous joke of like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm just going to put this in here and I think it's good. But yeah, now it's in dictionaries.
It's a thing. Embiggen is an actual like superhero power. Embiggenment.
Well, and that's what's weird is you hear him, like I hear Embiggen and it has never sounded wrong to me in my life. Like it's always been like, yeah, that seems like a word that would exist. And then you find out that it was made up in a writer's room.
And it's in scientific journals now.
It's because nerd recognized nerd. I don't know. Like
that has to be it. So also the phrase, I for one welcome our new insect overlords, which is said by Kent Brockman in Deep Space Homer, is now a common phrase, which I hadn't thought about until I saw this, because I have personally used that a lot.
Yeah.
Or replace insect with like another word. I've seen that used a lot. It is like there. One of the things that if you listen to our show, you do definitely know that like when it's relevant, we talk about memes and stuff. And that is definitely one of them that pops up routinely in the Twitter sphere. Many years after it came out. That specific catchphrase is also used in the New Scientist magazine, which is also surprising. And then this is probably my favorite thing because I say it a whole bunch, but the dismissive term meh is believed to have been popularized by the show and was added into the dictionary in 2008.
Yeah. And honestly, it's a word that I think I probably heard it before The Simpsons, but The Simpsons is when I adopted it into my vocabulary. And I think Lisa says it, and I don't remember why, but she says meh, and then someone asks her a follow-up. She's like, I said meh.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a weirdly expressive word. I just looked it up, and apparently it is also an adjective.
What?
Which feels wrong, according to whatever the top dictionary search result was. Like, describing a football play as having been meh.
Yeah,
I would
use it. Yeah, I use it as an adjective way more than I ever would use it as like a dismissive term, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I do that too.
I'm pretty sure
like Suicide Squad was meh.
You're being kind.
Yeah.
So other words are yoink and craptacular, which also have been used. I haven't heard craptacular as much, but I use yoink a whole bunch. Also, on top of that, the Oxford Dictionary of Modern Quotations includes several quotations from the show as well, as cheese-eating surrender monkeys and Homer's line, kids, you tried your best and you failed miserably. The lesson is never try. You tell me that all the time. That is definitely like a plaque we should have in our house. And then as well as kids are the best, Apu. You teach them to hate things you hate and they practically raise themselves with the internet and all.
Yeah. Homer's like just one walking just quotation machine of like things that I believe that are not like completely like pessimistic, but like I think the average person feels that way. Like when he tells Bart, and Bart's like, this is the worst day of my life. He's like, this is the worst day of your life so far. Oh. Like, that's such a real thing.
So do y'all have any favorite sayings that you can credit to The Simpsons, like off the top of your head?
Look out, radioactive man, although I don't use that one very often. Oh, you know what? Going off of Adrian's, there is, in the episode Marge Be Not Proud, Bart watches a commercial for a video game called Bone Storm, and the end of the commercial says, tell your parents, buy me Bone Storm or go to hell. And so Bart runs into the kitchen and shouts, buy me Bone Storm or go to hell. And Homer says something to the effect of, he's like, Bart, and you think he's going to reprimand him, and he just says, there's a word, or like, we say please in this house or something like that. And that's always stuck with me. Oh, and the other one, and this is also because my roommate that I used to live with who loved The Simpsons would say this, is anytime you knock something over or break something or do something bad, just saying it was like that when I got here.
Yep.
And that has, it's never got us out of anything that we've done. But yeah, we have spilled things, broken things, and then just said that and hoped that people is like.
Done that many times.
I feel like that's been my motto, like walking around my new office, because there's so many things and all of it you have to do yourself. And like, they have like this fancy coffee maker, like an espresso machine. And I didn't break it, but I didn't know how to use it.
So it was like that when you got there.
It was like that when I got there. Oh, I think like ultimately my favorite would just have to be, oh my God, it was just in my head and it just left my head.
My final one would be Everything's Coming Up Milhouse.
That's what I was going to say. That's what it was. Everything's Coming Up Milhouse.
Which I know isn't originally a Simpsons reference. It's a reference to a song from a musical, from Everything's Coming Up Roses. But something about that whole moment of Milhouse's mom making him wear flood pants and then just like, my ankles are wet, but my cuffs are bone dry. He's the nerdiest, weirdest kid, and I love him so much.
Do you have any?
I remember my other favorite one, which I think is like too kind of real for the world we live in. But when Homer's like, he's like drinking like on his way to work, and he's like, you don't like your job, you don't strike, you go in every day and do it really half-assed. That's the American way. And I just think that's like a very like too real.
Yeah.
For our current,
that would be probably
current administration.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that there is also a whole bunch that we like say every day and don't even think about, and it's probably a Simpsons reference.
Yeah, it's embedded very deep in culture at this point, and sometimes it's hard to identify what even came from the Simpsons.
Pretty much. So the other thing that we have to talk about, like we always talk about whenever there is a giant pop culture phenomenon, there are some controversies around it. So one of the big ones that I found out was actually when The Simpsons did episodes like Bart visiting Australia. And I think there's another one where Lisa visits another country. Those countries actually got really, really mad.
There's where they go to somewhere in South America and it's pretty much depicted as just like constant crime.
I think so.
Not quite on the level of the Puerto Rico parade in Seinfeld, but not really much better either.
Yeah.
I think it's like Homer gets almost immediately kidnapped. And then Bart finds a kids TV show that's basically just like a woman in tassels.
It's in Brazil. They're in
Rio. Yeah, that's what it was.
That's what it is. Yeah.
And that country was not happy with that episode. And I get it. Not a good look.
Yeah. And then Australia was also mad at them, which I've never thought of Australians being mad at anybody. But when Bart goes down under, they were mad at them. Yep. And then a lot of people are really like, the whole like responsible parents of America in the 90s were really mad that Bart was a role model for kids, or that they saw like they imposed this idea of Bart being a role model because Bart was the destructive, stupid, you know, do whatever he wanted kid.
Yes.
And people didn't want that to be the type of kid that their kids
so
are, like,
was he actually portrayed as a role model, because I never that's actually thought thing. That or know yeah. that
he wasn't, and the creators of the show had a lot to say about that. I think Matt Groening said, if you don't want your kid to turn out like Bart, don't parent like Homer, which was kind of like a don't let your kid go unchecked and just watch whatever they want and never talk to them, which is, I mean, I grew up watching The Simpsons and my parents talked to me about media, and if anything The Simpsons taught me about storytelling and comedy and all of like history and math and all of those things. And then one of the showrunners said something to the effect of expecting everybody who's ever on a TV screen to be a role model is wrong. Like, that's not how this works. And I think honestly, like a lot of that was around people not wanting to have to actually parent in the age of, you know, primetime TV.
Yeah. And I think too, like, I think a lot of that goes like that, like idea of Bart as a bad role model also goes into how, like the Bushes like really hated The Simpsons too.
Yeah.
Like they really saw The Simpsons as like the breakdown of the American family and like this terrible thing. But like personally, I actually think that The Simpsons has, and like I'll pull in one of the but why those that I have like lower down, but like I actually think family matters a great deal in The Simpsons.
The letter from Marge to Barbara Bush after the comments that the Bushes made on The Simpsons was I think really good and kind of put them in their place about that and about, you know, trashing the show and saying that we need more families like the Waltons and less like the Simpsons.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely like a warranted, like, hey, no, we do our best. And honestly, they're a better reflection of average American family life in the 90s than most TV shows at the time.
Yeah, no, they entirely are. And like one of the reasons I definitely think that is because ultimately the reason Homer is in a dead end job is because of his daughter.
Yeah, Maggie Makes Three. And it's a beautiful episode.
One of the most touching episodes ever, which if you haven't seen it, it's the one where Homer like just wants to have a job at
it's a bowling alley.
At a bowling alley.
Because they're finally out of debt and he realizes that he can budget so that they can live comfortably as they are living now, working at a bowling alley. And then Marge is pregnant with Maggie and he realizes that he can't do that. And so he has to literally go crawling on his hands and knees back to Mr. Burns for his job. Literally because Mr. Burns has a half-sized door that he makes people go through if they're asking for their job back.
And then on top of that, so it's all in a flashback. And then they say, well, where are all Maggie's pictures? And he says, I had them where I really need them. And that and this is probably one of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons. It cuts to the sign that Burns had put up in front of Homer's desk, which is, remember, you're stuck here forever. And then it's all the pictures are positioned on the plaque to where it only says, do it for her. Yeah. And it's like really touching. And like, I think The Simpsons being a family that has a lot of issues, Bart and Lisa being like terrible siblings to each other at times, but then at the end, like really standing up for each other too.
Oh yeah. Like, Bart the General is about Bart defending Lisa.
Yeah. And so like for me, like that is way more of family mattering because family isn't just through the Waltons and Happy Times.
Yeah.
And Goodnight Joe Bob. Like,
yeah. And I think also like on the note of like Bart and Lisa, like there is, so there's three flashback episodes that I really love. There's Maggie Makes Three. I think The Way We Was is the one that covers when Bart was born, and Lisa's First Word, where you find out that Lisa's first word was Bart.
Yeah.
And it goes through like all of their relationships and how they are the way they are and how they're so close. And I think also Bart, like in the idea of like, well, Bart shouldn't be a role model. I think Bart was also an incredibly relatable character for a lot of kids and probably in ways that parents didn't want to admit because Bart isn't book smart. Like the whole episode, Bart Gets an F, where you see him like having this emotional breakdown because he realizes that he's not smart and that he's going to have to repeat fourth grade. And it's like that episode hits hard on like fears around not being intelligent and honestly was probably really useful for a lot of kids to see that lived out on TV, but instead parents were shutting it down saying like, no, he's bad, and then those kids being like, well, but I'm not smart, so am I bad? And like it's just really bad mixed messaging to try to shut that down.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
Talk to your kids, it's not a problem. Tell your kids to be like Lisa, like, and like all of that goes away basically.
I've actually seen all three of those episodes out of the like massive 40 that I've seen.
And what do you think?
Oh, I mean, I just never thought of Bart as a role model, honestly. I never thought that they portrayed it. It never seemed like anywhere in the show they portrayed him as a role model.
Yeah, and I think the family stuff is still super important. I mean, like the whole Simpsons movie that they came out with that like was in movie theaters was all about family. Like it's what the plot was. It was them coming together as a family despite the stupid stuff that Homer did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So moving on, the other big controversy is that it's declined over the past 10 years for the most part.
Yep.
And then most recently, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because there is actually a movie called The Problem with Apu. And it's actually not the kind of movie that I expected. I thought it was just going to say, these are bad stereotypes. I thought that's all the discussion was going to be. But what it actually does is like from like the South Asian American perspective kind of unpacks this and says like stereotypes themselves aren't bad because like we recognize that The Simpsons is a parody and like Flanders and Nelson and Burns and like all of these people are caricatures and stereotypes of things. But what The Problem with Apu does is it like says we can still like these things, but we can also understand that like when this is the only stereotype that's available, then it becomes a problem. And so like this kind of uses The Simpsons as like this touchstone that everybody has seen. And for a lot of people, when there aren't South Asians in their community, if Apu is the only person you saw on TV, this is automatically how you think everybody fits. And that's your point of relation. And they have like interviews with people and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I've had people do the Apu voice to me all the time or ask me if I can do that voice for them. And so like it kind of highlights where like parody can always be a parody and it cannot be problematic, not be problematic so long as there are other images of that, like of that, of what subject to parody out there. Because then it just turns into like, this is the largest show with one of the largest audiences that has been, that is the longest running show. And it's had these stereotypes at the forefront, or like this specific one that has led a lot of people in the South Asian community to be treated a certain way with that. But then it talks about how, as we have like Mindy Kaling as a writer, you know, Aziz Ansari and these different South Asian voices like coming forward, it's offsetting that. So it's a really nuanced approach, and it uses The Simpsons to kind of like tell this story. And I thought it was really cool. Especially because it's not just like the standard stereotypes are bad narrative so much as
I haven't watched it yet, but that I really need to, especially hearing it more explained. Because at first I thought it's just going to be about the problem that is Apu, which, you know, is pretty on like plain on the face. Like you can, it's right there, everything that's wrong with it. So I was like, I don't need a whole documentary to tell me about the problems with this. I'm very aware of the problems with this. But if it's going into like the idea of like how that plays out in a larger cultural context, that seems like a really important conversation to be having.
Yeah, because it's at least in my perspective and like hearing a lot of like interviews, the way he talks about it isn't so much as like you're wrong for liking Apu or like The Simpsons is wrong for having Apu, so much as like let's look at the culture around it and how we can like why does he become a problem versus he is just a problem? That, I mean, it sucks that The Simpsons does have this really strong trope that, you know, because this is where I preface, like we do in every show, I'm not South Asian. I can't speak for that. Mm-hmm. But like, I totally don't like when people come up and call me Chica or say S.A. So like,
you can speak for the Mexican B guy because he's exactly the only brown person that I can think of who's in The Simpsons other than Lenny, and like how many lines does Lenny actually have in The Simpsons? So
that's pretty much it. And then it just get like, but the whole other side is like literally everybody in there is a caricature of some piece of American life.
Well, now I'm thinking just about the general visual depiction of race on The Simpsons, because you do have, so there's everybody in general is yellow, which was a choice they made to get people to like stop when flipping through the TV to assume that something was wrong with the dial and like tune in and like adjust everything. But then you have like Dr. Hibbert and Carl, who are black, and they're depicted as black. And then there's like Asian characters are a paler shade of yellow compared to like the Simpsons characters. And then like Native American characters are depicted like it's weird how they choose
beige.
Yeah, I don't. And then there's like character, but then there's like characters with purple hair and blue hair, and
yeah,
it's like no consistency, but like enough that you have to question it and look at it.
Yeah, and then again, like this, as we've kind of like talked through the show at this point, like the creators of this show are very like they're very like they made an entire like they brought up like math to explain a plot. Like they're very aware of what they're doing.
Yeah. And I will say, I haven't seen it yet, but the problem with Apu, another good reason to watch it is that I know that the director is a big fan of the show.
Yes.
It's not just somebody who's like, I'm going to come in and dump on this thing that all of you love because I found a problem with it. It's like, no, I'm dumping on this because I love it and because I want it to be better.
Yep. So yeah, go watch The Problem with Apu. And I should actually, I think I know his name, but I don't want to mispronounce it. So. Yeah, Michael Melendoff, and it's written by Hari Kondubalu, which is all the information, all of the stuff that I've talked or that I've listened to is a lot of the analysis that was written by Hari Kondubalu, and a lot of the interviews I've heard have been him talking about it because he's had a big creative push in getting this done. And at the end of the day, kind of being like, hey, if we're going to have Apu, which is pretty problematic representation, then yeah, we need to have other things to offset that, that stereotype. Cause like Groundskeeper Willie, nobody automatically thinks that every Scottish guy they meet is Groundskeeper Willie, or like every Christian is Flanders, or I mean, I guess they all think we're the Mexican Bee, but yeah, like it's a problem because that's the only thing that's there, and it's like it's written by white dudes, voiced by a white dude, playing an Indian dude to represent Indian. So it's like, yeah, he kind of unpacks the problem in multiple ways, and he has like this really nuanced conversation. He really wants it to be a conversation.
If you want to know more about it, like I would like not only watch it but look up some of the interviews that Hari Kondabolu has done around it, because he's a big fan and he has a lot to say. So I guess to wrap things up, because we're almost at time, we have to talk about the fan theory of predictions, because it seems like
missing one thing though.
What?
We keep talking about this giant decline, and I feel like we haven't actually talked about the decline.
Well, okay, so this is why I didn't do a lot of research on the decline, is because nobody really agrees when it happened. And some people believe that it has come back from it, but then went back into it. And it was really hard to gather all the research.
Because all I know is, like Alex said, basically season 11. They're in season, 29 right now?
Yes.
So you're telling me this show stayed on in a decline for 17 years.
Basically. And honestly, I'm basically an apologist for saying that it goes up to season 11.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because like for that long, you actually have more horrible seasons than you actually have good seasons. So it's actually, is it a bad show?
I think it's just staying power of being as much of a cultural phenomenon as it was.
Yeah, I would say it's exactly that, because I mean, they dumped literally all of the other shows. Like, you know, they dumped American Dad and all of those other shows in their decline. I mean, South Park was off the air for a long time after its decline. I just think the staying power of The Simpsons gave it like that one exception to kind of stick around there despite the ratings.
Yeah, no, I just find it fascinating because, like I said, everybody talks about these declines. It's like almost a decade long. And I'm like, well, you're talking about almost a third of his existence, if not 50% of his existence, people don't like. And so I just find that fascinating.
Yeah, no, it is really interesting too, because like when you think about it, it's also one of those things where it's just kind of like, I don't watch The Simpsons regularly, but I don't, like, I feel like it has to be on. Like, I feel like it has to be on air. Like, I feel like it's one of those, like, it was kind of like watching Sábado Gigante growing up. Like, that dude was old as hell before that show was done. Mm-hmm. And it happened every Saturday night. And I never, like, I only watched it if I was my grandma. But like when I heard it was canceled, I was like, oh no, that's a cultural state. That's a cultural like thing. Like this honestly, should be there.
I think when The Simpsons ends, my prediction would be that the finale is going to pull in like borderline Super Bowl numbers in terms of getting people to tune in, because I think it's going to be so many people just in complete disbelief that this thing is gone.
So do you think it'll pass? I believe it's MASH is the highest, or is it
something? I think it could definitely pass up MASH for the biggest finale, just because they're running, you know, 30 years strong. People remember it from their childhood, from their teenage years, from their college years. Even if you haven't been watching it, there's so much nostalgia around it that when you hear it's ending, it's going to be, you might first think, wait, it's still on, but then think, I have to see how this ends.
Like literally, like Alex, there is only an extremely small section of your life where The Simpsons isn't on the air.
Oh, actually literally none of my life. I am older than The Simpsons. It has been on, yeah. I am 6 months older than The Simpsons, I think.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is never not existed with me. And when it ends, I will have to watch it. Like, I don't have an option.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just find it fascinating because I'm like, I can withstand some bad seasons. But after about a decade, I don't know if I could have made it that long.
Well, I think part of it could also, granted, I haven't watched a lot of the decline years, but I think part of it could also be people being overly harsh, slash when you are being compared to something as brilliant as seasons 1 through 7 or 1 through 11 or wherever you cut it off. It is really hard to be that good for that long.
Right.
So yeah, when you're comparing anything that comes out to these just absolute golden episodes with incredibly tight scripting, solid animation, amazing voice acting, like yeah, it's going to get rough, and your dedicated fans are going to be really, really harsh with it.
It's just funny because, like I said, there's been plenty of people that I've talked to. Obviously, they're like, yeah, I used to watch Simpsons. Now it's garbage. And I'm like, it's still apparently on every year, so it can't be that bad.
Right? Somebody's watching.
Yeah, there's got to be at least enough people where they're going to keep it.
I think you also have to take into consideration the, I guess, like when it starts to decline, it has to be around the time that shows like Family Guy, South Park, Futurama are all taken off on their own. So people have something other, another adult cartoon to watch other than The Simpsons. And that might help.
Things that are like, oh, this 9 is, or 10.
This is new, so this must be better kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and it's quote edgier. It's more adult. It swears more and gets grosser, which to me is not a reason to watch one show over another. But I'm sure that there are people who are like, yeah, it's a cartoon like The Simpsons, but it's, you know, full of really gross, like whatever.
Yeah. Like, if you're at the tippy top and you have a decline, like, is that decline really, like, does that decline make you better or make you worse than like some newer shows that are like at its peak, but their peak is never going to be as high as The Simpsons?
Huh.
You know, so it's like Tom Brady at 40. Tom Brady has declined next year. Like, he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, even with a decline. See, we're going super edgy.
going after Tom Brady.
Yeah, because South Park was 97, Futurama and Family Guy were 99.
American Dad's like mid-2000s.
And Futurama, also an absolutely golden show. I love that show.
I love Futurama.
Same.
Yeah, no, I think Futurama's probably one of my... If
Futurama will be an episode on this damn podcast.
Let's do it.
Netflix, if you're listening. Netflix, if you're listening, please don't take it from me. Don't do it.
Isn't it all on Hulu now?
I think it is.
Yep. Yeah, but come on, Netflix. I fall asleep to that. What am I going to fall asleep to right now?
Archer season 1 is like amazing to watch over and over again.
Not used to it. Wasn't in my childhood. I need some comfort. Some comfort listening.
Man, I'm glad that wasn't in your childhood.
Okay, so the final thing to end it on a super happy note, or at least like a super memeable note. I had to take a page out of like how Adrian makes sure to work in all like the big memes from things, because I think this is like probably one of the biggest reasons why The Simpsons ends up on your feeds is because of their predictions. So I have a couple here. And a lot, and all the ones that I picked, which were like the top ones, they're actually really explainable. So the Higgs-Boson prediction, where Homer like does the math equation on the board for the Higgs-Boson particle or the God particle. And
really?
What?
Really?
I know I squeaked it.
Why are you still playing with the damn squeaky toy?
Okay.
You're worse than the dog. So that is the Higgs equation or the...
Yeah, okay. it was like two numbers off or something like that. But it makes sense because these are like mathematics PhDs. One was from Harvard. Like, these guys like know their stuff. So of course it was in there and it was already being worked on at the time that it's in the show. The other one is the Nobel Prize win by MIT professor Holmstrom. It's a weird name.
I'm kind of wondering who named their child that, because that is a weird spelling.
Yeah, it's like a German name. It has an umlaut over the O.
Well, I'm not talking about the last name. I'm talking about the first name.
Oh, I don't know.
It just says B-E-N-G-T.
Well, it's a different language, so.
I guess so. Okay.
It's a different language.
Fair enough. It didn't look like that on the notes.
It's a different language.
Before I get called like a foreignist or something.
I don't know how to do the umlaut, so it's a different name. It's a different language. So that guy winning the Nobel Prize, he was an MIT professor. It was in economics. And now that you know the background of all the math on the show, I don't think that should be a surprise that they made that prediction. Because he was pretty big at the time. Also, the horse meat scandal, there is an episode where the lunch ladies are using horse meat.
Yep.
Fully believe all of us have eaten horse meat.
Yeah.
I totally believe it. I'm totally in on this.
Well, horse meat and horse carcasses have been used in different productions of what we've had for centuries, pretty much. So, like, to think that there wouldn't be any, Like, that's just kind of self-explanatory. We just don't know, and somebody found out. The three-eyed fish, there was a three-eyed fish discovered in Argentina.
And it had the three eyes and the little tentacle thing with the eye at the top.
Yep. And so, like, that three-eyed fish it's an Argentine fish, and pretty much, like, they found Argentina where there was a whole bunch of radioactive stuff. And when it comes to, like, mutations, like, physical things, like, there are extra limbs, extra heads, extra eyes, like, all that type of stuff that happens all the time with different things. So it's not that far out of the realm of possibility, obviously. They also predicted Siegfried and Roy's tiger attack. They play with a damn tiger. I don't know what you expected.
That seems like a low-hanging prediction.
Exactly.
Tiger went tiger.
So, like, I'm just kind of like, a lot of these that people are in awe of, I'm just kind of like, they were already there, including the Donald Trump presidential, like, being the president. He was already talking about running at the time that that episode came out.
Yeah, but 2000, you think anyone believed that in 2000? That we would be in this timeline 18 years later?
That's why it was a parody, and now it's our reality.
Yeah, I don't think that one's really low-hanging fruit. I think that's just happened, and we're not really sure what happened in 18 years since that happened. We're like, whoa, wait, that was real?
Which one, then, that makes it Mr. Dumas is the president?
I don't remember.
His name's about dumbass?
Yeah.
Nobody know this one.
Wait, what is it?
Basically, Mr. Dumbass is the president, but they call him Dumas.
That's not Idiocracy, is it?
I didn't think it was. I thought it was either this one or it was Futurama.
No, Futurama has Nixon, Jack Johnson, and John Jackson.
Yeah, okay. That's right. But I thought they had, like, one where they went.
Oh, that might be. Because, you know, Futurama does time travel episodes, naturally.
Damn you, internet.
I thought the Super Bowl predictions are pretty good. Like, 3 years in a row.
You want to explain them?
It was like, what is it? Like, in the 90s, right, Matt? It was like 93, 94, 95, or something like that.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 92, 93, 94. Like, they predicted, like, who was going to be in the Super Bowl, like, 3 years in a row.
Yeah, they had a little weird stretch. I mean, it's not as weird as what they had for the presidential stretch they had going on, but, yeah.
What I mean, what it clearly is that the Stonecutters control the world, and they're just putting that out into things.
Exactly.
Thanks, Alex.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, what I kind of wanted to show, just because there are also a whole bunch of, like, the Simpsons predicted it things that are stuff that people just made on their own, because, like, The Simpsons isn't a really hard art style to follow. So, I mean, I don't think that they have, like, some fortune teller doing this.
Yeah.
Like, when you actually...
For the last 15 years, after every Super Bowl that the Patriots are in, it's always like, Simpsons have some explaining to do, and they post, like, the meme of, like, Belichick being angry, and, like, the score is what the score is. It's so overused. It happens without fail whenever they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm looking at, actually, a few days ago I saw this come up, the New York Times published an article titled, "The Simpsons Has Predicted a Lot, Most of It Can Be Explained."
Yeah, that's
where I got a lot of these from.
Yeah.
When you use your critical thinking skills, you can figure a lot of these out.
Because there's a bunch of them. Like, it is, like, every time something big happens, there is a still of something from The Simpsons.
Which, that, I mean, honestly, that's just, like, law of large numbers, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much all this stuff is literally just numbers and predictions and percentages.
Definitely. Also, while Matt looks this up, I will recommend the website frankiac.com, I think is what it is, where you can type in pretty much any quote from The Simpsons, and it will pull up where that is in the episode, and you can make a GIF of it.
Oh, that is amazing.
Like, you can just type in, like, a couple words of the line, like, another, going back to your question about phrases, I am ever so pissed. one of my favorites.
Willie, hear you. Willie don't care.
I do. Groundskeeper Willie, like, probably a little bit more of a stereotype than he ever should be, but he's such a good character.
Yeah, no, he's definitely pretty sure not everyone is like that.
Yeah.
But he's so good.
That reminds me, did you guys ever play Simpsons Road Rage? Because that's the one that I played growing up.
Yes.
Yeah, and I loved that game. I think at one point I unlocked all of the characters in it, and looking back at how much time goes into that, I don't know how I did it.
You didn't have to be an adult.
Basically. And there's just a shameful amount of like memorizing the map and where I can pick people up and what they'll want and where the next closest person is. And yeah.
Are you gonna?
Yeah, you can go. I don't know. There's too many. The internet has flooded presidents with dumbass stuff. Like, it's impossible to find this thing. All I know, there's a show where basically they're chanting dumbass and they're like, why are we calling it? And like, no, his name is Dumas.
I know what you're talking about vaguely, but I can't pinpoint it to an actual thing.
I can't either.
Did it really happen? Is this Mandela effect?
It happened. We'll just have to find it.
But anyway, so that's pretty much all I have. So I guess like final thoughts on The Simpsons, guys.
Ooh. Matt, I go first. What are you doing?
Kate never said anything, so it threw me off. I didn't know what to do.
I forgot that I have to call everybody's names.
We have to give him permission to speak.
You gotta be given permission to speak. We don't exist. Like I said, like I watched The Simpsons growing up, so it was kind of like the first adult kind of like cartoon I watched when I was little. And I love that it was first, and it's given me, even though I don't watch it and I haven't watched it in years, like I haven't sat down like and said, oh, I'm gonna go watch The Simpsons, even though I haven't done that in years, it's given me shows like Futurama, South Park, and things like that, and I love those shows. So a lot of my appreciation for Simpsons is that they've given me some of my favorite adult TV shows. And I don't know if we would be here without The Simpsons doing all the great stuff that it did, as we've talked about through the episode.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I said, I haven't watched it. I doubt I ever watch most of it, even when they do their marathons of about a week of Simpsons or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess appreciate it for all the other, I guess, shows that came from that spawned from them. I guess I have to thank them for that.
Yeah, and I also agree with Alex that I would probably be there watching if they said like this is like it. But I've also had that for like Family Guy and Futurama and all of my other favorite shows. And they're like, oh, this is it. We're not doing it anymore. I don't feel like Simpsons will ever end. So I feel like they're just going to suck me in by saying, yeah, this is going to be our last season. And then like 3 years later, people are going to be cramming to want it to come back on TV because they don't know what to do without it.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to do it for as long as they want them to do it. Or not them. They want to do it, not them to do it.
Yeah. I think overall, for me, like, I just think The Simpsons matter because it is literally a mirror of pop culture and, like, one of the number one vehicles for pop culture in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is a accomplishment to be a character in a Simpsons episode.
Yeah.
As, like, a celebrity or a pop culture icon. Like, that is, like, one of the status makers of whether you've made it or not.
Which is funny that we talked about stereotypes only because we failed to mention King of the Hill, which also has a ton of stereotypes that came out probably about the same time as South Park, I believe.
Yeah, King of the Hill's I would say that like my ranking of favorite adult animation is like Futurama, King of the Hill, and that's really about it. And American Dad, those three, and Family Guy underneath that.
American Dad actually got better the longer it went on, oddly enough. I've seen a couple of the later season episodes, and I was like, huh, I don't hate this.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, I think it, because I like it because, like, at the end it's great, and I just don't like, I feel like Family Guy is inverse.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it was really strong in the beginning, and then it was like,
beep. Actually, I think it was very bad at the beginning, so that's why it got canceled, and then it got re-brought back.
And then it got bad again.
Well, then it was strong. Because it actually got canceled, I believe, after its first season.
Yeah, it did.
Family Guy?
Yes.
Oh, no, Family Guy ran for 3 seasons, then got axed.
Okay, was it 3? I thought it only was 2.
Yeah, no, they ran for 3.
Like, I don't even know if I remember the first 3 seasons, because I don't think I watched them again. Like, when I go, I always start, like, season 4.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever the damn Twinkie episode is.
I think actually
the Y2K episode.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a season 3 episode. Yeah, I could be wrong.
I think it's one of the very last episodes they had before they got axed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll say I think The Simpsons matter because kind of going off of what Kate said, but maybe pushing it a step further, I think that The Simpsons is it's an achievement in that it is a convergence of all things pop culture and of most, if not all things academic. And it's like the fact that all of those are wrapped up in this highly accessible, entertaining bundle that everybody can watch. There's someone you can relate to or sympathize with in every episode. Like it is just so unreal and unmatched. And I don't know that we'll ever get anything quite like it ever again. Whether the show's gone downhill or not, the fact that it ever achieved that at any point in its run is really remarkable. And just for that alone, I think it's really important.
Yeah, and I think it's like really safe to say is we just scratched the surface of but why those here for The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so much underneath it. So I mean, we'll probably do some more Simpsons stuff in the future where we like get really honed in on things because like there's a lot here, like even just from a character standpoint.
I mean, we didn't even get into like literary homage that they do.
Oh yeah.
And that's a huge part. Like they borrow so many story formats and then just like do something brand new, or the time that they did really nothing new with it and they just had James Earl Jones read The Raven and animated it, and like that's crazy and people watched it and loved it. That was the first time that I ever heard The Raven was that episode.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that they could do things like that and get away with things like that and not just get away with it but have people love it.
Yeah.
So I guess final question, do you think if they say they cancel at 30 is their last point, if they make it to 30, you think anything will pass it or if anything got a shot?
Yes, but it's a very pessimistic yes. It's very much the same cynicism that I have around every movie being franchised and, you know, milked to death, that if a show passes it, it will be because a studio just wants to keep making money off of it. Not to say that that's not why The Simpsons have kept alive, but I don't know that lasting 30 seasons is natural, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because we're coming up on, I think, what, Family Guy's in like 17? Or something like that.
Family Guy is the one surprised still going.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, you're talking about the down years of that, and it's still going, and seems to be keep getting. I mean, even Futurama, I think, what, made 12 or 11 before it even got out?
Futurama, I have no idea because the DVDs are released in volumes, not in seasons.
Yeah, it's also weird because they were on like three different networks or whatever.
Three different networks. There's one season that's just movies that were then diced up into episodes. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think too, like one of the things that probably sticks out for The Simpsons is that it's had a continuous format. Whereas I think a lot of these have jumped around. Like Family Guy, in like on top of being canceled and stuff, it moved networks, right?
No.
I thought it did.
No.
Yeah, the new episodes
got syndication
are on
FX.
Yeah. And
when did it move?
It did move networks.
American Dad moved networks. When did Family Guy move then?
Adult Swim?
No, I'm talking
about syndication.
Yeah, I'm talking about new episodes, I believe, are still on Fox. American Dad switched from new episodes onto TBS. And that was like three or four years ago.
That's what I was thinking about American Dad. Yeah.
You know, American Dad switched.
The Family Guy episodes still come up. Yeah, Family Guy episodes still come up on Hulu as like Fox, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm pretty sure Family Guy, as far as I know of, is still Fox.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but no, I don't have to watch. I have to watch it when it comes out on Netflix, but as far as I know of.
Not for long. It's getting taken off too.
Well, we're gonna need 35 freaking streaming services.
That's another episode by
cable.
That's another episode.
Streaming services matter, but why though?
They do not matter anymore. They've been milked to death. But you know why? Fox right here and Disney.
And NBC.
And CBS.
And CBS.
CBS is assholes. Fuck you, CBS.
CBS is the worst or the smartest.
No, I fucking hate CBS.
Okay, so
they're not the smartest. I watch all of Star Trek illegally.
Okay, so let's wrap this up.
I thought we already did.
Well, we haven't signed up or anything. Oh, yeah. We're just going off.
Yeah, we should probably do that. Oh, yeah. And then we can all go to Denny's after.
Yes.
I'm closed right now, Alex. I will not be going to Denny's.
I'm down.
No. Okay. So, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show again, Alex. You are a part of our family here.
Very happy to be here.
And I expect the listeners to hear more from you on some special comic book episodes pre-Infinity War.
Definitely looking forward to that.
And of course, my horror backup whenever I convince these two do another horror episode.
Do more horror episodes, guys.
That's fine. I mean, I'll put my cardboard cutout right here. You guys can go to town.
If you're a $10 Patreon subscriber, you could make us watch a horror movie.
Oh, this
oh
is
don't
true.
Tempt me.
Except for the Human Centipede, which I need $150.
That is actually on that Patreon tier, which says explicitly no Human Centipede.
Unless you're paying me $150.
That seems like a reasonable line to draw. Now, how about Cannibal Holocaust?
I have seen that already. So, well, I guess I've also seen Human Centipede. So, okay. So, anyway. Yeah. Yeah, so why don't you tell the listeners where they can find you on the internet?
Yeah, so I am on Twitter at mostalwaysalex. My other podcast is What We Talk About When We Talk About, and we're on Twitter at WWTAcast, and then Frightday.com if you want to read about horror movies.
And the Game Boys podcast?
Oh, and Game Boys podcast I do with my friends Tim and Ryan. So if you like co-op video gaming specifically, that is a place for you.
And they were on our Star Wars video game episode together.
So yeah, nice that was a lot of fun. Yeah, I will say, when you guys did your big celebration episode, I did not realize how many times I'd been on the show.
See, that's why I told you I should have broke down the fun facts.
That just means you're our friend, or I hope you're our friend.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, we're friends. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, as always, you can find the podcast at ButWhyThePC on Twitter. I'm going to stop plugging the Instagram because I haven't updated it. Or you can, like, send me some stuff and make me, like, update it. I don't know.
Or you can voluntarily run our Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Anybody want to run our Instagram? Please. So you can find us at ButWhyThePC and on Facebook, facebook.com/ButWhyThePC. And if you want to support us a little bit more, head on over to patreon.com/ButWhyThePC. It is much appreciated, and all of it goes to making this show better. And you can find me at Oh My Myth Randir on Twitter and Instagram, where I post pictures of my dog. That one is updated. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperRRhuyz93. And hopefully weekly when we do our Dungeons & Dragons stream, usually in the evenings at What is our thing for Twitch?
Twitch.tv/ButWhyThePC.
Twitch.tv/ButWhyThePC. I should know this. I run the stream from my computer. Yeah.
You want to give them a little taste of how you kill things?
I just boop them right on the nose whenever I get to play the female monk in our party.
Matt?
You can find me on the Twitter at @MATTM18.
So, Alex, you've been on the show enough. I hope you know what's coming.
Yeah. How to end this?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to throw out two options because I don't know which one you'll be able to find. Either the classic track, Do the Bartman, or Jazzman Testify, as sung by Nancy Carter, or by Yeardley Smith.
Okay. I think that's good. That's a good choice.
Where's Bart? Yeah.
If I can find them both, I'll put one at the beginning and one at the end.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
I learned it with no rhythm and so
time and the air works boom. Sit by myself confined to my room. When all else fails, nothing else left to do. I turn on the music so I can feel the groove. Oh, I'm feeling the groove now, baby. Bring it back. Whoa. See the button. Whoa. Reach up.
Number one fan, but I know I'm bad, cause I do the fart man.